Morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today? Good? All right. I'm good. Start off in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could show up and glorify your name, your word, and learn, edify, and that we can take this and take this to wherever, to our jobs, to everywhere we go, and shine bright like lights for you. And we want the Holy Spirit to be here with us and to guide us and to open our eyes and open our minds to learning and just glorifying you, Lord. And thankful that we're here, that we're able to fellowship in these times, Lord. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so I had a pretty long week, pretty good weekend, and so I'm just getting back on track to being kind of lazy and relaxing. But as you guys know, we were in Colossians, if you remember. We were in Colossians, and Colossians chapter 1. And we were seeing how the Colossians, how the Apostle Paul was writing to them, and that he never met them, and that he, you know, the Colossians were steeped in paganism and all that. And now we were seeing how the preeminence of Christ, that Christ is before all things, and that he's the creator. And we were proving that through what we were reading, verse 16, 17, and all that. So now we are getting into the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus, and all the, and the peace that we have and that the world doesn't have, and that how blessed we are, and that we have peace in the Lord. And we're going to see today through scriptures that, dang, it's hot, isn't it? I'm hot. But we're going to see today that, you know, we have one up on the world, that we have a peace that passeth all understanding. So, and we're going to get into that today. So, and I'm calling this Peace in Christ. You know, it's not much, but we're going to get to into Colossians. I'm all over the place today, but I'm thankful that I'm up here with you guys, and thankful for the opportunity. This God's word is for every person. It's not just for anybody. It's not just for a certain group of people. It's for everyone. So it's for all of us to enjoy and search the scriptures and appreciate what our Creator's done for us. So we left off in verse 19, but now we're in verse 20. We're going to be in verse 20 through verse 23. And we're going to read through these verses. So, and having made, so for, Colossians 1, verse 20. And before we were in Colossians, Paul is warning them of false teachings. As you read through the book of Colossians, you see that there's a lot of false teaching going on. Paul's warning them. And then, so we just got done learning that God is, that Jesus is God and the Creator. So now, right after that, here we go. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So that's the text that we're going to be in today. So, starting in verse 20, and you know what? I wanted for anybody that's listening that's not a believer, and I'm just going to read it real quick, and we don't have to go to it, but I'm going to read it. But anybody that's not a believer and you want to find peace, You're going to find it in the Lord Jesus. That's where you're going to find it. You're not going to find much peace in anything else but God's Word and in the Creator and what the Lord has to offer for us. And I'm just going to quickly read out of John 3, because this is just John 3, 35 and 36. But the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So everyone that's not saved has the wrath of God abiding on him. So that is something that you should think in your mind. God's wrath is nothing to be played with, and then it's nothing to be taken lightly, because he's not done with us. He's got the whole tribulation to handle business with, and that's where he's going to pour his wrath. But other than that, please, if you're not saved and you want to come to a certain peace, this is where you're going to find it. So, and we're not talking about, so let's go back to verse 20, Colossians. I think I just went. And having made peace, there goes that peace, through the blood of his cross. So there we go. That real quick, just on that, having made peace. A lot of people think the peace, like when the world thinks of peace, they think of war. And the war and fighting and what we got going on is Ukraine and the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. But here it's talking about peace between the relationship between God and man. And that's the peace that we have. And there's always going to be wars. You know, there was war in Joshua's day. There was war. There's going to be war in the future. So there's always been war. So, and hopefully, you know, somehow we can get some of this to the Ukrainians and to the Russians and all them who are going through war, because this is where they'll find true peace when them times. So it's God's relationship between with sinful men. That's the peace that they're talking about here. And, what else does it say? Through the blood of his cross. Now, we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So God, ever since the beginning, ever since Genesis, we've become, and you'll see in the verses ahead, but we've become enemies of God. And in Genesis, you know, when you're saved, you're not an enemy no more. But throughout Genesis, when Satan told Eve that if you eat this apple, you won't die. Then you won't die. Then they didn't die, but they died spiritually. That's when they became, right there and then, that's when they were separated. We had a separation from God. And now, so ever since then, they've been having to shed blood for atonement. And you see that. And let's go to Leviticus 17:11 just to prove what I'm saying. So a lot of you guys know this, but for the people that have never seen this, you see that you have to shed blood. God requires blood. With Cain and Abel, God told Cain and Abel to bring a sacrifice. And that's why Cain wasn't accepted, because he didn't bring that sacrifice. Leviticus 17:11. We'll just see this real quick to kind of prove the point. Thank you for being here today. And Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So that's how you know that the blood has certain kind of energy. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's the blood is important. So, and they just learned that. See, God's word is infinite. There's so many truths that prove that God's word is real. They just learned that the life of the flesh is in the blood not too long ago. And these are books that are old. This is, you know, this is a book Moses wrote. So, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For your souls there. For it is in the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. See, there goes proof that it's the blood sacrifice makes an atonement for the soul. So, and that's why the Lord Jesus had to sacrifice first, because he became the ultimate sacrifice for our atonements, you know, for our sins. And so we see, yep. So And I want to go to Romans 5:1 real quick. So now we see that we know that the blood, you know, is what atones for us. Romans 5:1. We're going to be jumping around today, so it's I always have so much, and it's like I can't say it all. You know, it's too much to. So I got to, you know, Romans 5:1. And a lot of us know these, but we don't have no more enmity. For the people who are saved, we don't have enmity with God no more. You know, so Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. We're justified by faith. It's all faith-based that we got going on. And we're going to get into that later about the gospel and what we believe in, like Ephesians 2:8 and all that. So, but let's jump to, we're going to kind of prove the point here. Let's jump to Philippians 4. And we know about this one as well. And we're kind of just getting into the peace, proving that we have peace. We jump through the scriptures because we're going through Colossians now, but in Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians are prison epistles. Paul wrote these in jail, you know. So if he had peace when he was in Supermax, we could have peace out in the world. We can have peace with, you know, the unsaved or whatever we're going through in life, because there's people in jail who are locked up, throwing away the key. And that was the Apostle Paul. And he was locked up and he had peace and he had joy. So Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. And we all know this one. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So God wants us to what we want, tell him. You know, he wants, and he likes specifics as well. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it goes on further to show you how to think, because as we're going to get into the natural man, they have a thinking problem. Their mind is thinking, you know, sinful thoughts, and they don't know how to think the proper way, and they need the Holy Spirit to guide them into being saved. But you know, the verse 8, God, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. That's what we should be. We should be an example. And we all fall, you know. We're all mess up, but it's God allows us to get back up and allows us to prove ourselves and keep going. You know, we're children of God, so we got it going on. So, all right. So I wanted to prove that we have peace through God, even through our prayers. We pray, you know, and when God allows us to access Him through prayer, and we have that peace. That's another peace that we have. Let's go to Romans. We were just in Romans, but Romans chapter 8. I'm just hitting home the peace aspect of things, and because we're going to get into reconciliation here, so later in the verse. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For they that are, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the carnally minded is, you know, the natural man just living through life, and there is no God and not saved. Everything is death. We are spiritually minded, those that are saved, and we have peace. And that's that peace that is being offered here. So that's just another little proof we got going on, because the world, you know, God wants us, and we're going to get into that, but God wants us to to show that to others and bring them, because it's a very high percentage of people that are going to hell. It's a very high percent. And it's a very small percent of people that are, you know. So it's just, to me, it's deep. You know, to me, it's a serious thing. And I know we don't always, see it that way. But we didn't deserve salvation. It's all about the grace of God. So we didn't deserve it. God's grace, you know, came and God doesn't listen to the prayers of the unsaved. There's a lot of people out there praying, you know, and I feel for them because it's that bad. You know, there's people that say that they're good and all this, but God doesn't view them as good because they haven't had no faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And a lot of people, so God wants us through the ministry of reconciliation that we're going to be, that we're reconciled to God, and God wants us to get others reconciled as well. And it's a really deep thing. And I know life takes hold of what we're doing, but, you know, and God hears our prayers. So that's something that you can take to the bank. And when we pray, and when you're reconciled in the Lord, that He's going to hear you, and He's going to, and that's that peace that passeth all understanding, that you don't understand it. That's the whole thing. You won't understand what's going on. God's got His hand around everything, even what happened in Joseph and his brothers. I'm sure Joseph didn't understand what was going on, but he ended up being a high-ranking guy in Egypt. Or whoever else is, you know, so a lot of people don't know, but God knows. And that's the peace that passeth our understanding. So let's go back to Colossians, back in our verse 20. And I'm just trying to hit home here, just the peace that we have, because very good. All right, verse 20, let's keep reading. So, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, so by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him. I say, whether they be things in earth or in things in heaven. So this word reconcile. So for the people that don't know what reconciliation is, that's when two parties have come together and made peace with each other. So so a lot of the world thinks of like marriages, or some that they come and reconcile, or people who have problems or arguments and they come and reconcile. Well, we had a problem with God had a problem with us. We had a sin nature, you know, and we were hostile and enemies with the Lord. So now we are reconciled and we are at favor with the Lord, we have received atonement and a renewed friendship. So that's reconcile. You know, you have a renewed friendship. We're back to good terms with the Lord, and the Lord's brought us back. And so it's like, so that's what reconcile, you know, and God has. So let's, as we all know this verse, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, kind of hit this home. Well, I was going to say this later, but the way I've seen as we all know, that the Great Commission, you guys heard of that, right? The Great Commission, that they say, oh wow, the Great Commission, that's, you know, Matthew 28 or whatever they think it is. Well, I see there was three commissions. There was the commission that the Lord Jesus, when He came on earth, He came to the Jew only. He came only to the Jew. Then after a while, they were offering the kingdom. So that was the second, you know, they were offering it. And then the third is the one we're going to get into right now. And this is the commission for us as the body of Christ. So, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that alone right there, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new in or new creature in the Lord. So, and all things are of God. So right there, all things are of God. He's the creator. Everything is like we got into earlier. All things are of God. God is everything. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. So all things are of God. Who hath reconciled us? So now we understand what reconciled means, to himself by Jesus Christ. He used the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many verses that prove that Jesus Christ is the centerfold of everything, creator and the redeemer, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So to me, that's the true great commission that we got going on. That's the ministry of reconciliation. So to wit, that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath not committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, we are ambassadors. So that's where we're supposed to help others be reconciled. We're ambassadors now in the Lord. So now we have a job to do. You know, it's an important job that through us, the Lord wants to get people in, you know, what is God's will? To have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, that's our role is to play that and try and do the best that we can. You know, in verse 21, For he has made him to be a sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. So we've been made righteousness of God in him. So that's just wanted to hammer that home, because that reconciliation is big time, you know. And that's how I see it, you know. And God is not, he can't be, we shouldn't limit God, you know. God is limitless, obviously. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, you know. He's all those things, and he knows all the stars by name. He knows everything, every person, you know. He knows every person, he knows every hair on your head, and he wants us to be saved. So, and it's not just us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And thank you for Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. All right. And here goes again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace. There was that word again. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Who is he talking about? Have abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So, the law of commandments and contained in ordinances. He's abolished that in his flesh, the enmity. For to make in himself a twain, a new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So they're talking about Jew and Gentile there, and that he slain the enmity between them, because as we know, it was Israel all day. It wasn't nobody. Israel was, the Lord Jesus was a Jew. I mean, it's as plain as day, you know. It was all about Israel back then. The Lord Jesus came unto his own. He died. He offered the kingdom one more time through Stephen. The Lord Jesus stopped that and brought a new apostle. And that was the Apostle Paul, in whom is our pattern for today. I mean, it's that simple. Once you read through Acts with an unbiased lens, you'll see it. You know what I mean? Through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, you'll see, when you see it through an unbiased lens, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is our pattern. And I'm going to show you that verse where it's he's our pattern unto salvation. You know, so it's not our pattern just to be hey, he's Paul, you know, he's another guy. No, he's separate from the 12. You know, it's not, he's a total separate entity. Prophecy, mystery. You know, earthly, heavenly. It's two separate things. So just to say that, and as you guys already know, but I want you. So we are still in verse 20. What else? Spirit of God. Like the sinful state. let's go to Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians and do verse 21. All right. I got to cut out some of this extra information I have. All right. Natural man. Yeah, so we mentioned that the natural man's problem is in his mind. That's Romans 1:21. You could see that the imaginations are vain, you know, and it's all in our mind. It's all the natural man. We have a sin nature, so it's like we're born rebellious to the Lord. So we're in Colossians verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated, which is another word for like stranger, isolated, and enemies. And see that God's not playing. That's a serious word. Enemy. We were enemies. You're an enemy if you're not in what's going on with the Lord Jesus. You're an enemy to God. God sees you as an enemy. Like if you're not for me, you're against me. And that's a deep word there. Even though it's, you know, in your mind. Enemies in your mind. You see, that's where I was getting at the mind part. By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So now he has reconciled. You were enemies in your mind. So this is, and you're going to see that verse 21 and verse 22 are twofold. Verse 21, you were enemies. Verse 22, you're on the other side of the cross now. And you're before the cross in verse 21. Verse 22, you're on the other side. So, and what do enemies of God, what are they? You know what? I like this verse here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we'll go to Galatians 5, which you guys, we all know about Galatians. Second Corinthians 11th chapter. And verse 3. Alright. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. I can't even say it. Subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted. There goes another with your minds. From the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, God is simple. We just make it hard for ourselves. The simplicity, he says it right there. It's simple. But we just make it so hard for ourselves through vain, through traditions of men, through all these things, which is in Colossians, that the Apostle Paul is warning the Colossians, the traditions of men. And it's that simple, and we make it that much harder for ourselves to be, you know, but he calls it the simplicity. God's, the grace of God is simple. You know, God, the revelation of the mystery, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the simplicity that's going on here in 2 Corinthians. You know, I just love that verse because it's a good word, simplicity. You know, it's just that simple. Verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. See, that was what the Colossians were going. You know, Colossians are worrying about all this, about the false preachings. But they weren't Corinthians now, but that's just another. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom he have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. See, this is the Apostle Paul defending himself, you know, preaching another Jesus. The Apostle Paul is saying, my gospel is what gets us saved. And if you're going to teach something else, another gospel, here it says another gospel, you know. And we're going to get into what the gospel is here in a sec. But which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So I see what I see, and you can tell me if it's something different. Apostle Paul saying another Jesus, another gospel. That's not, you know, that at all. Then it's not a good thing. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So now we know that we have peace, we're reconciled, you know. We have peace, we're reconciled. Let me go to Galatians. And then, so now that we have peace, we're reconciled, we know in verse 21 that we were enemies, that we needed to be reconciled. We can go to Galatians 5. Ooh, excuse me, verse 17. I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, verse 19. Verse 19. And this is just kind of to, this is just to kind of, we all know these verses, but this is kind of, you know, the fruits of the flesh under the law. So, and this is what an enemy, this is what the enemy does, okay? And for the flesh lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to another, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. These are totally contrary, like it says. But if ye be led by the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and here we go, this is the works of the flesh, this is what an enemy is doing going on. So you got adultery, we know what that is, fornication, you know, immoral in all its forms, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, which is unrestrained sexual behavior, like lustfulness. We all know what adultery is. And then you have idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance is quarreling, disagreement, emulations. That's envious and, you know, envious rivalry. So if you're, you know, you want to just envious and you have a rivalry against somebody, you're just mad at them, you know, just want to beat them up or something. You just want to hurt them and you want to win over them all the time. You have strife, which is angry, bitter disagreement, seditions, incitement of resistance against lawful authority. If it's, that's what I'm pretty sure. Heresies, an opinion or doctrine or practice contrary to the truth. Heresy. Revelings, wild parties of sin, drunkenness, craziness. So if these are what the enemy of God does. And obviously in verse 22, you see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And this is what that verse is entailing, you know, in verse 21. And this is, and as we all know, this is a verse-by-verse study. So this is how, in my opinion, God, this is how we study the Bible. You know, we read the verse, read it in its context, and we go somewhere else, and we compare Scripture with Scripture. And that's, and you see that in Corinthians. So, let's go back to Colossians. Thanks for, that was a good amount of, bit much there, but we got it. Colossians. All right. Verse 22. So now we're going on the other side of the cross. Verse 21 is saying, hey, you're an enemy. You know, guys, you're an enemy. Now verse 22 is saying, oh, we're in the body of his flesh. So in verse 22, in the body of his flesh, through death. See, we needed God. We needed the Lord Jesus' body to be sacrificed so we can have this atonement that we have. You know, the blood and his sacrifice. So we're going to get into that. But to present you holy, which is separated, like a set apart, blameless, unblameable, which is without blemish, like the lamb would needed to be without blemish when they had the sacrifice. This is what God sees us as once we're saved, and unreprovable, meaning we can't be called out to question for nothing. You know, God, you can't be called out to question on your salvation, because God, you know, that's what it, that's how God sees you now, holy, unblameable, and you know, so whether you think you're, you know, a lot of, and that the poor Catholics that they believe that they got to work for their salvation, and they see themselves as, you know, and I pray for them sometimes when I think about it, because there's so many of them that want to believe in the Lord and are sincere, but they don't have the right information, you know, being given to them. So God sees you as that, an unreprovable. You can't be, they can't tell you nothing about your salvation. Nobody in his sight. I mean, that's, to me, it's clear as day. So, and I just learned, so we needed a sacrifice, right? Christ was our sacrifice, his blood. But I just learned, I didn't know this, that if Israel would have accepted the Messiah, so they would have seen Jesus and they'd be like, yeah, you're the Messiah, come on, you're our guy. And they were supposed to sacrifice him, even then. Like, he was supposed to die still. And they were supposed to sacrifice him on the altar and for atonement. And then he was going to come back in that new body. You know, and that. So I just learned that. So if you guys want to, that blew my mind. And I'm like, oh, okay. So if you guys want to talk about it, let me know. But they were supposed to accept him instead of him dying on the cross the way he did. He had to die anyways. That was the whole thing. And they were supposed to accept him as the Messiah. They were supposed to put him on the altar, sacrifice him, and then boom, you know, all that good stuff supposed to happen. So if there's something contrary, I don't know, but I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, it's like, oh, wow. But obviously we know that's not what happened, which is why the grace period had to be ushered in, because the Lord, you know, had, you know, because he's going to pour some wrath down. And you think this, what's going on today is something? You guys just don't know. That tribulation is going to be something. But we ain't going to be around to see it, because we're going to be raptured. So give glory to the Lord on that one. But yeah, so there's going to be something to see. But yeah, because the work of salvation is complete. But a lot of people think, oh, so you're saying, what you're telling me is that you could sin. You know, you could do all these things, that it's a license. No, God, that's not nothing what we're trying to say, that anybody's trying to say. You know, just because it's okay to sin. The fact is, you can't stop sinning. So if you can't stop sinning, you know, you want to walk worthy in the Lord. So that's why the Lord did this for us, because, you know, past, present, and future sins, he's done this for us because he knows we can't stop. But he made us, like we said, and like we've seen in verse 22, unblameable, holy in his sight. So now when he sees us, he sees Christ. You know, he doesn't see us anymore. And that's the beauty of it all. And when we go to heaven and we live forever, yeah, that's gonna be good. I'm gonna be very happy about that. So it's not license by any means. So all right, let's go to verse 23, Colossians. Last verse, got about 10 minutes. if a lot of people get into that word where it's like, oh, well, see, you can lose your salvation. Well, no, you can't. But if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, what gospel is that? Which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So there's a lot in here, okay? So there's a lot in this little thing, so we're going to try and wrap this up pretty neatly. But that if word, so whenever you do this study, that if is a challenge, okay? That's not if you do this and you're going to lose your salvation. No, that if is the same thing. We can go into Colossians, the same book, but we can go into which one is it? I got it. Oh, 2:20. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Just to kind of give a... So it's just the next page. Just to kind of give an example of what that is. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why is the living in the world are you subject to ordinances? See, we're not even subject to ordinances. That's something a whole nother. Touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, that, and that's a whole different subject in itself, but where we're not under law. But that, see that word if. And then chapter 3, verse 1 is another example. If ye then be risen with Christ, see, that's a challenge. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, thank God he's sitting on that right hand. But that's that with that word if. So, supposed to be grounded and settled. And Paul has been warning, like I said, he's warning the Colossians, all these things. You know, people are jumping from group to group in today, and they're just taking every wind of doctrine. Everything that they just take everything. People want to believe in something, but there's so many false doctrines and so many things going on that, you know, we want to, it's just craziness what's going on. But I have a question. You know what, I'm just going to skip all that. I have a question for you guys. What is the gospel? Right. So that's the gospel, right? So if you were to ask, come up to anybody in the world, that's a good question to ask people when you go, if you want to talk about the Lord. Hey, what's the gospel? You can ask, a lot of people won't know. They really won't know. And the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the gospel for today. There are many other gospels. There's the gospel of uncircumcision, of circumcision. There's the gospel that we talked about, where they were coming to the Jew only. But for today, the gospel that saves. And you know what? Let's go to that so we can kind of see, because you're going to see that's exactly what it says. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And we've read this so many times, you know, we know this verse, but you're going to see how plain it even calls itself the gospel. So, and it's when this is just a good thing that even I am like, oh, wow, you know, and it's the gospel that saves. Moreover, brethren, chapter 15, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, we don't want to believe in vain other things. This is the one that saves, not other stuff, not another Jesus, not another gospel, like we've seen in the other verses. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That, my friends, is the gospel. If anything, that is the gospel. So if anybody says, I got the gospel. No. Is this the gospel that you're talking about? Because this is the gospel that saves. There's no other gospel that... There's other gospels, in my opinion, but the one that saves is this one. And this is the one for today. So I got my time cut short, but I want to conclude. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, back to where we were. Colossians, but let's go to chapter 3. And I encourage you guys to read through Colossians and just kind of see, you know, it's a good book. It's a short book. Read it. But I'll conclude in this. And in that... So, in verse 23, you know what, let's just go to 1:23 real quick. But, see, it preached under which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So that makes me confused when you read that, because it's saying that everyone, you know, and there's a verse in Romans as well that's saying that everyone, Romans 1:19-20, that people are going to... When they die, there's no excuse for anybody. You know, so that kind of is like, wow. You know, we have people that go out, missionaries, and they try to promote the Lord. But the Lord, I'm seeing verses that it's saying that there's still no excuse. When you die, you're going to hear somehow, some way, the gospel. Even the people out in the forests, they're going to hear the gospel. So that kind of throws me off a little bit, where it's like, dang, you know, the Lord does not play, which is why it's important that we have, and it's to conclude, we have peace. And that's something that we can take with us, and we can be assured. We have peace that we're going to heaven. We have peace that God is with us all the time. We could take, a lot of people don't know. There's people that I know that they don't believe that there's nothing after this. What kind of hope is that? To me, it's like, you believe you're going to be a butterfly or something? Or what kind of hope is that there's nothing? You know, it's like, geez, what's going on today is bad enough. You telling me there ain't nothing going on after? No, can't believe that. That's too sorrowful, to my opinion, you know. It's like, that's the atheist. They don't believe in God. They don't believe there's nothing, you know. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And we're going to read through 17, and this will be it. But verse 15 is the one I want to hit home. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So now we know that we have peace. We're reconciled unto the Lord. We understand what reconciliation is. And that now, what do? You know, we know that we have the ministry of reconciliation, try to bring people in. And now we have this in Colossians, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see, that's kind of contrary to the Galatians 5, where we've seen the lists, you know. And above, verse 14, all these things put on charity, which is another word for love, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, put on love. And verse 15, this is one of the one I wanted to see. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that's a beautiful few verses to finish on, because we have a nice holy calling. The Lord sees us as, holy. So that's good. We got it going on. So I appreciate that. And thank you for listening. And hopefully you got some out of this. And I'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for opportunity that I can share what I've studied. And thank you for people to listen. And hopefully that... And thank you to everyone safe, and they're here and ready to learn more about you, and they can take this home and be fired up for your word, because you put your word above all thy name. And just let us fellowship and be grateful for everything we have, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.